Now, Mr.
Good evening. A few days ago, the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing in room 313 at the State House. It dealt with a proposed piece of legislation called the Fair Housing Law. Inasmuch as this bill will undoubtedly come in for a considerable discussion during the next few weeks, we thought tonight you'd like to hear how some of the proponents of the Fair Housing Law feel about it. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee is Democratic Majority Leader James H. Kiernan of Providence. About 75 people have taken seats in the hearing room. The first to speak was Irving J. Fain, general chairman of a big committee called Citizens United for a Fair Housing Law in Rhode Island. Mr. Fain outlined the provisions of the Fair Housing Law, and then the parade of those who wanted to place their statements on record began. We will now give you highlights of most of those who appeared. They will, for the most part, identify themselves as they approach the microphone. Here now is the voice of James Williams, Executive Director of the Urban League of Rhode Island.
It's been my pleasure to serve as the director of the Urban League since 1940. Now, during 20 years of working cooperation with other important community organizations which are interested in the welfare of the citizens of the state, the Urban League has acquired a degree of expertness and know-how which may help the committee and the members of the assembly in its consideration of the Fair Practices Act. And that is the reason, Mr. Chairman and committee members, that I am put in this spot, because my job is to lay a little groundwork and some background for what is to follow. Now, history seems to be repeating itself today. 10 years ago, it's off just by 1 week, but 10 years ago, on February 7th in 1949, I had the opportunity of representing the Urban League at a hearing held by the House Judiciary Committee on the famous Fair Employment Practices Bill. It was known then as the Wren Bill. 2 days after the hearing was held, and I think it was in this room, the bill passed the House by unanimous vote. It went to the Senate, was passed there, and Governor Pastore signed it into law. I looked up my notes, and it pays to keep records of that hearing and the newspaper clippings. And this is what I found. I found that if I wanted to change just a few words and phrases, and if I wanted to substitute housing for employment, the same notes which were used 10 years ago could almost be used today. 10 years ago, the objections to FEPC sounded very much like some of the objections which we are hearing today on fair housing. 10 years ago, people who objected and people who were fearful said this bill, this FEPC bill, was controversial and dangerous. They said it was unconstitutional. Some people said it was communist inspired. Those who wanted to divide the people who were supporting it, some said it was a move on a plot by the Catholics or a scheme of the Jews. Some said the bill was just set up just for Negroes alone. That was done in order to divide the supporters, but that device didn't work. There are others who claim that we were attempting to legislate morality, that the bill was an invasion of rights, and it was unnecessary legislation. No problem at all. 10 years later, we're hearing the very same things about a fair practices bill. Then as now, and as you see in the meeting this morning, we have responsible and respected leaders of the community who have come prepared to speak up for fairness, for justice, for equality, and more than that, for faith in the effectiveness of law as a supplement to education and religion.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, I shall be very brief. I am unqualifiedly in favor of this bill. I speak only as an individual. I should identify myself, though that's no great importance perhaps. William H. Edwards, 310 President Avenue, Providence. I practiced law at 15 Westminster Street. Been a member of the bar for...
How long, Bill?
Well, 30...
Don't tell your age.
37 years. Yes, I have just passed 60. I do hold a position in the Bar Association, but I do not speak officially for that association because we have not conducted any poll of the members. And, of course, no man speaks for his firm. I speak simply for myself. I'm unqualifiedly in favor of this bill because, one, I think it's a good bill. Two, because I think it's a good step in the right direction. A small step, but a good step. And I'm for the bill in the third place because I think it's in accordance with our state tradition and our national tradition. I endorse entirely what our brilliant chairman, Mr. Fain, has said and what Mr. Williams has said, and I'm not going to take your time further, except for what might be called a slightly highfalutin peroration, Mr. Chairman. I think these problems should be related to something bigger than all of ourselves. Now, that inevitably means that you either wave the bloody shirt, as they said after the Civil War, or you indulge in rhetoric. But I don't think this is rhetoric. Why is this step a good one? Because it's a step to implement what is basically guaranteed to everyone under the 14th Amendment. And although the 14th Amendment is well known to all of you, and I thought it was well known to myself, I must say, as I pulled it out of my pocket this morning, I always carry this, you can get it from the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in lots of 20 for a dollar, Constitution of the United States. And here are these ringing words, which it took the death of tens of thousands of Southerners and Northerners to put in the Constitution. Section 1, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. And that means that nobody's a second-class citizen, whether he's a Negro or a Jew or a Yankee or a person of Italian descent or a person of Dutch descent or a Zulu, doesn't matter. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And then comes this final thing on which this whole anti-discrimination campaign and forward movement rests. Nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. That is the fundamental law of this country. When Williams was alive and wrote those words which are on the front of the State House, this is rather highfalutin, but hope you'll take it, Mr. Chairman. He wrote that a flourishing civil state, our state, may stand and best be maintained with full liberty and religious concernments. Now, if he were here today, when economic problems have not supplanted religious concernments, but have become of equal importance, of major importance, I'm sure those words would be amended to read that I believe that a flourishing civil state, said Williams, may stand and best be maintained with full freedom to enjoy the equal protection of the laws. And just one word more, there's no question about the constitutionality of this bill. Not any. You can't read the cases in the Supreme Court. You can't read the Nebbia against New York case and the discussion of the police power. You can't read the, I've got the references here, the recent case on no discrimination in public housing. You can't study the recent decisions on the whole discrimination problem and come to any other conclusion than that this bill, which is well drawn, if it reached the Supreme Court of the United States, would be sustained. The main issue before you all is the wisdom of the bill. On the wisdom of the bill, there may be opponents of it, but I think it's so in accordance with our tradition that it demands overwhelming support. Thank you very much for listening to my somewhat generalized remarks.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, I am Rabbi Abraham Chill of the Congregation Sons of Abraham, also serving as the president of the Rabbinical Association of Rhode Island, And while I serve also on various civic, religious, and social committees and commissions, there is just one that I'd like to bring out, and that is that I serve on the Commission to Encourage Morality in Youth. Mr. Chairman and gentlemen, I am most pleased and happy and elated to inform you that the rabbis throughout the entire state of Rhode Island are unanimous in their sentiments over this piece of legislation, which we are considering here this morning. And we urge that the august body of legislators of the state of Rhode Island pass this bill unhesitatingly, with expediency, and unvacillatingly. We of the Jewish faith, particularly the rabbis who are leaders in Judaism and in Jewry, steeped and brought up and inculcated with the sublime teachings and noble principles of this ancient faith, which of course has been readily admitted to be the mother of several daughter faiths, we feel that this bill should pass, and should pass unanimously, taking into full cognizance the fact that this thinking is basic. It is basic to Judaism, it is basic to the Jew, I believe it is basic to every religious conviction and thinking, that we are all children of the same God, and no man has the right nor the privilege to put himself above and place himself in a superior position to others.
Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, ladies and gentlemen, I am Father Edward Flannery, editor of the Providence Visitor. I refer you to the Providence Visitor for a fuller exposition of my views. Two editorials have been written in the Visitor on this subject, and I, with ecclesiastical approval, am going to try briefly to outline for you what these editorials contained, and which also, I think, will give you what must be considered the Catholic position on this problem. I recognize there are difficulties in it. The constitutionality has been challenged. Our position there is for the lawyers to decide this, but especially to have the Supreme Court decide it if this ever should become challenged. I think the constitutionality is to be assumed. I would not want to think that our democracy in America is a property rights democracy. There are some scholars who have tried to prove this. I think it has been disproved. I think that our democracy is a human rights democracy. And since human rights are superior to property rights, in case of any conflict between the two, the property rights have to give way to the human rights. I think further that the state has a right to act in this matter. I agree that education is the best method to cure these problems, and the individual conscience is most important here. But I believe that once a social problem has been created by the exercise of individual rights, the state not only can but must take a hand. I think this is a well-known American principle, well enunciated by Abraham Lincoln himself. that when any group or individual cannot do for himself what is necessary for his own welfare, the state not only can but must aid him in so doing.
You have just heard highlights of a hearing on a fair housing law. The hearing was held at the State House a few days ago. No opposition to the bill was voiced at this hearing. We were told late today at the State House that the House Judiciary Committee will hold two hearings next week on the fair housing law bill. The first will come Wednesday afternoon at the rising of the House of Representatives. The other will be held Friday night. This is Harry McKenna saying thank you for listening and bidding you all a very pleasant good night.